I wanted to share 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'll turn there. If you were in a meeting that I was in on Monday, yesterday we came home? Yeah. So it's Tuesday afternoon, I was in a meeting, and if I told you some of the things I found out in that meeting, you'd absolutely not be able to sleep tonight. That's happening in this community. Just absolutely would not sleep. Well, you would just cast your care on Christ. I understand that. But there are desperate situations right here under our nose. Life and death situations happening right now. In families, in this community, in our school system. Just atrocious things. Unthinkable things that are being carried on by the enemy. Not arbitrary, but pointed. Grabbing people and throwing them in the most desperate situations. Children, third, fourth graders, thrown in desperate situations. This generation absolutely needs the prophetic. It needs the prophetic. You know, in October of 1977, I first told my wife I loved her. She wasn't my wife then. She was my girlfriend. So I didn't know how to tell her, but I spurted it out one night. And, you know, then I wrote it down. Then I wrote it down again. Then I wrote it down again. And I figured, you know, at the time I was thinking about it during worship, I thought, man, if I'd have just wrote like 10 nice letters to her, and then the rest of my life I could just say, you know, if you want to know how I feel about you, read my letter. Wouldn't that be good? I think that may have saved me a lot of hand cramps, always writing these sweet little things. We used to leave notes tucked around when the kids were, in the soap bar and in the jewelry box and in the wallet. We'd put little I love yous in there, you know. And so if I'd have saved all those, I could just cruise on through till the end of life. I'd just say, well, if you want to know how I feel, Terry, just read what I wrote. And I understand the importance, the validity of the word. That's so very important. The word of God is so very important. But we have to give a chance for God to speak to us currently about our situation. And we absolutely need the prophetic in our church. It's not that we don't have it, but it's in bits and pieces. We need to flow in the prophetic. We need it to come forth and flow very naturally, supernaturally. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 26, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he said, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. You notice how the author writes this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So he's saying that all of us should come with an expectation of sharing, not receiving. Are you there? Because we need to concurrently keep up with, Jesus is so in love with us and so not wanting us to misstep. Because one misstep can miss 2 or 3 years in the kingdom of God. And 2 or 3 years is souls that need saved. Are you getting my drift? We can go off down a path, and if we're not hearing from God clearly, we say, well, God, we read your letter. And he said, yeah, I want to confirm my letter by leading you in this direction. It's not a new word. It's not something that's not in my word. But I want to tell you why I love you. The first time I told Terry I loved her, I was drunk. Not in the spirit either. We weren't saved whenever we started to date, so don't look at me like that. But over the years now, I've been able to explain for her, sometimes lengthily, sometimes shortly, why does I love her, and get specific about that. She could still go back to those written letters and cards, if she saved any, and all the I love yous, but I could tell her currently today, I just told her today probably 10 times that I love her and the reasons why. And so God needs to tell us that same thing. And then in verse 27, I'm going to give you a chance here in a minute, Danny. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. And then verse 29 says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. And so there are people in here right tonight that have prophetic words coming forth. And I encourage you to interrupt. Nobody is going to mind a divine interruption of God. And let the others judge. Well, you know, if you don't mind being judged, we'll say, you know, that was good. Because sometimes we need to understand, I've done some teaching on prophecy, but sometimes prophecy is not prophecy, it's just edification. It's just an encouraging word. There's nothing wrong with that. But the prophetic is exhortation and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. But it is also, as you're going the right way, it's road signs on the way in this journey that we have with Christ. Because when we go out here to this community, we better have some real answers. A half a bagel, a cup of coffee, and a few songs is not going to change people's lives. Just not going to do it. Well, we've got to be able to prophetically speak into their lives. Amen?
Speaking of love, the Father would say to you tonight, I love the Son with my whole heart. And I love you. I created you so that I have a creation to fellowship with and to love on. And my Son, he loves my heart. And he wanted to please me. So because of his love for me, he went to the cross and gave you salvation. And then he went to the cross to not only give you salvation, but to give you healing and victory in your life. You see, it's already paid because of the love of my Son for me and my love for him. And then the Holy Spirit, he comes along and he does what we say to exalt Jesus. So because of my love, you are healed. Because of my love, you will dominate this area. It's my love and my love only, because I love you. And that book was a book of love letters. You're right on. Love letters. And I want you to, just like my Pastor Rick was saying, I want you to feel my love each day and to hear my voice and to know that I want you well and I want you whole. And I want you walking in victory because I love you. And I've created that for you and I've spoken over you. And that's where I want you. And that will please me. And it'll make my love grow stronger. And in return, I want you to love me back. Just like I love my Son. My Son loves me. And their spirit loves to exalt us. I want you to be the same way, my sons and daughters, and walk in that in its fullness. And the 69th week is ending. You don't have long to put treasure up in heaven. So because of your love for me, if you be obedient like my Son, you will find souls out there that are hungry and bring them to me because that's my love. To see all the kingdom come to me. So I love you. And I want to see you walk in everything I've spoken over you. And what my love letters say. See you walking in the fullness of that. So John is healed because of the love of the Father. And because of the love of the Son, the price is already paid. So it's a done deal. Same way with me, and I'm going to walk in it one of these days, too.
Thank you, Danny. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Glory. So the next two or three weeks are very important for me. This film we're about to see, this video, I encourage you to watch them all. It's the Turnaround Conference. I'm sure some of you got a chance to look at some of them. This is on February the 22nd at the 7 o'clock gathering. Dutch is going to teach and give some background on where he was on this journey that he's on in appealing to heaven. And then the unleashing of the prophetic, he's going to talk about gavels and tuning forks and sheriff badges. And so the way he puts together is kind of interesting. And I appreciate, if you've never heard Dutch Sheets, let me introduce him to you tonight. Dutch is a prophetic preacher. Amen. And probably apostolic in his outreach. You know, he's been in every major city in the United States. He's traveled to every state, prophesied. He prophesied President Trump into, and you have Dutch and his brother Tim to thank about all the confusion that's going on in the government. They prophesied that, and it's come to pass big time. But let's listen to this for a little while. We're getting a little late start. We may not hear the whole thing, but I want you to write down any questions you might have, and then I have some things to share with you afterwards. So now I'm going to go a step further. This is a good place to stop. If you want the rest of those, all of those are on YouTube. All you've got to do is call them up. You can go to Turnaround Conference 222 through 224, and they'll all come up. You can watch all the sessions. The one with, I'm trying to think of her name, the lady that was there. Cindy Jacobs. The one with Cindy Jacobs is particularly interesting. But your thoughts, before I share my thoughts, what are your thoughts on what you just heard?
Right on.
Right on, okay. More of that. What else? Well, what's God saying to you about it? Yes, Mick. Figured he did, or he wouldn't be in the cloud of witnesses. Either that or it was a lookalike. Yes. Yes. Well, I'll go a step further from what he said. He said this is I represent a movement, but I believe he's representing a generation. I believe that if God will pour out his anointing on Dutch and that movement, he'll do it for us. And I think at every level, we need that kind of anointing. As I alluded to earlier with this community that we're living in, it's just unbelievable to me some of the things that are happening to families would just make you weep. It's unbelievable. And they're not easy answers. We can't just hand them a cup of coffee and pat them on the back and tell them to come to church. I mean, we need folks that know how to do deliverance. We need folks that know how to prophesy to come against the devil. Because the devil is coming all out with all fangs and all talons. And just he's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he's making headway. But we want to stop it, especially here. And we want to go the next step of the prophetic and of that strength and power that Dutch was talking about. The gavel meaning the things that we bind are bound. The things that we loose are loosed. We need to stop hoping to get there. We're already there. We just need to enact the authority that God has given us. You know, he talked about repentance, and I get that. And if you need to repent, there's things in your life that you need to get rid of, do it. Just do it. I'm talking to mature people here. We don't have to start back at block one. If you have things in your life that you need to get rid of them. Because God wants to give us the authority. You know, the angels want to hit the tuning forks for this area. The gavel needs to come down in this area. And we need to declare as a church that we're not going to take it anymore. You know, I met with someone, I won't say who it is, but they hold a big position here in the community. And they said from just they're a believer, but they said just from what they do, from their sector, they said that the last 6 or 8 months have been a complete change in this community. And not for the best. The last 6 to 8 months have just been total darkness that's enveloped. The enemy's out to get whoever he can get. He's raging mad. And it takes you and I to begin to move into prophetic. So when we come together and one has a psalm and one has a hymn, one has a spiritual song, it's not to fluff our pillows and make us feel better. It's to make us go into the community and speak the word of the Lord. You know, we've heard over and over again from Gene and from others, it's time to pray for a breakthrough. And then move as if the breakthrough happened. Several things that he said, there's not been the same revelation in the church since the book of Acts. God's been telling me since the early 90s that he was going to take the church full circle back to the upper room. Back to the upper room. He's been telling me that for years. And I believe the day is upon us. That the power of the upper room will come and prevail, especially here in this area. That literally hundreds of people will be swept into the kingdom. And I believe that with all my heart. It's the only thing that's going to stop the trend that's happening, not only here, but all over this nation. But I'm speaking about here because you and I are responsible for this area. We will answer for this area. Every one of us, one of the questions will be asked when we stand at the throne, God will say, what did you do to extend my kingdom? Come on, somebody. Yes, that's the responsibility that every one of us have. The key of the house of David, I like what, you know, the Lord said about that, Isaiah 22, you know, every door that I close, that you close will be closed, and every door that you open will be open. No man can open it, no man could close it. If it's open, it won't get closed. If it's closed, it won't get open. That's authority. And that's authority that you have in your life. So where practically does that begin for you and I? It begins, and I hope it's continuing, in your personal life. First of all, it's got to work in your life. Bind and loose. Stop allowing the enemy to take any ground at all. He can't have my health. He can't have my finances. He can't have my relationships. He can't do it. In Jesus' name, that's it. The line is drawn. And then success begins to flow out of us to each other. And from this building, when we come together, when we leave, we're a force to be reckoned with in this area. See? And we need to move in that sort of anointing. And I'm expecting the prophetic from this group of people. I'm expecting the prophetic from you, dreams and visions. I don't get very many visions. I'll tell you, I'll share one vision I had with you just a month ago or so. About 6 weeks ago, I guess. I don't know if I shared it publicly. I shared it with a few people. And I never get visions of my dead loved ones. We don't communicate with them anyway, but this was a dream. So it was a kind of in between. I was just waking up. So it was almost, yeah, I was almost awake, and I wasn't quite asleep. You know what I'm talking about? That weird time. And I saw my father and my mother and my grandmother and somebody else, I don't remember who it was, but I especially was zoned into my father and my mother. My father, when he died, he had no teeth. He weighed 98 pounds. Cancer killed him at 56 years old. And he was sitting there, and he was smiling, a full set of teeth. He's smiling at me, and I go, Dad, how is it? And he said, he smiled at me. He said, you'll find out. You'll find out. He had so much peace on his face. My dad never smiled. If he did, it was because of something that you don't smile at. And the Lord began to speak to me. He's coming very soon. And we got a lot of work to do. Now, very soon, Dutch says 20 years. I don't doubt that we'll have 20 years. But how many are old enough to know 20 years goes just like that? How many are old enough to say 20 years ago, it just seems like yesterday? So you talk about quick. Given, you know, when we're talking about 6,000 years, 20 years is just a vapor. Just like that, and it's over. But it's coming. It's coming, and it's here. And I like what he said about the kingly anointing comes from above. The priestly anointing comes from the body. I want you to chew on that. The kingly anointing comes from above. That's Jesus speaking as the King of Kings. And the priestly anointing comes from the body, from you and I. Intercession and reformation being struck together. The reforming and the interceding for the and the angels striking the tuning forks. Tremendous. And it's here. I'm excited about this. I ask you to pray for me. Please continue to pray. James and I and Michael Peterson will be traveling to Toronto, Canada on the 25th of April. That's two Wednesdays from now. And we'll be up there through Sunday. I just found out Reinhard Bonnke speaking Sunday morning at Toronto Vineyard. It'll be his last message in Canada. So I don't know if it's his last message in anywhere, but it's in Canada. And pray for Reinhard. If you've seen him lately, he's frail. I don't know what's going on with him. He's not being public about it. So when I found out he was speaking at Toronto Vineyard Sunday morning, I said, I think my church will be understanding if I don't come back Sunday morning. So I'll be there, and I told the Lord, I'm getting under the spot where the glory comes out. You know, I'm just going to stay under that anointing. You know, my hotel's within walking distance of church, so I'm not going to drink and drive. I'm going to get under the spot and drink all the Holy Ghost stuff I can get. Yes. I believe that, and I believe that it's time for you and I to step up. We got a lot of mature people sitting in this room. It's time for us to step up. This generation absolutely, absolutely needs it. Like I said, some of those stories I heard, I knew it was going on, but I heard it right from the horse's mouth, and I said, and the answers have to come from Jesus. It can't come from us. It's not religion. They don't need religion. Trust me. They don't need our hymnals and our hands raised and a pat on the back. They need real life solutions. Kids 8, 9 years old that absolutely have no hope. No hope. But Jesus is their hope. Amen. Amen. Steve. The ecclesia is really a secular word. When Jesus said, I'll build my church, it's ecclesia. And if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, ecclesia is government. Jesus said, I'll build my government and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we want to separate the church and government, but the church is the government. It's the ruling government on earth. I'll establish my government and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when he says ecclesia, that's where we rule. The ecclesia used to gather at the gates in ancient times. They used to gather at the gates and take votes. And if they all voted okay, then that's what they did. But that was the body of people that lived in the village or the town was called the ecclesia. Those that took the vote was the ecclesia. And so we are Christ's representative on earth. And remember, he alluded to it in his talk. He said, whatever we bind will be bound, whatever we loose will be loosed. Yes. Not maybe. Not I hope so. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We don't hope. And it seems to me in this community, it's been a lot of hoping. And a lot of, I hope it'll come someday. Well, if it ain't going to come through us, it ain't going to come. We can't wait for the next generation. It's not time to make excuses and say, gee, we'll just shove the can down the road, kick it down the road. It's absolutely now. Someone said, if not us, who? If not now, when? Amen. Yeah, remember, we're not asking permission. We're not saying, devil, if you don't mind, can you move over so we can get the work done? Give us a little yield. Give us a little leeway. No, we tell the devil to go. We bind him. We tell him to go. He doesn't have any authority. And believe me, he has authority in his community. Why? Because nobody's told him he couldn't. As soon as the church stands up and say you don't have authority, he'll lose the authority. But until then, he'll bat and swing and shoot and stab and whatever he can do to ruin anything that we're trying to do. But you know what? He can't. He can't do it. He doesn't have the authority. We have the authority. So, Father, now, thank you for this word. Thank you, God, that you've given each and every believer in this room a gavel. Yes. that you've given each and everyone in this room a badge. That is your name, Jesus. You said it, that at your name every knee will bow and every tongue confess it. So we enact that name tonight. And we say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Each and every one of us, grab onto this word, folks. Each and every one of us say that you've come this far. You can't have my body. You can't have my relationships. You can't have my finances. You cannot have my mind. You cannot have my future. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And I bind you on the left and on the right. You, what you've taken, you'll no longer take. What you stole, you no longer can keep. In Jesus' name, I command you to give back to each one of us and a hundredfold return. A hundredfold return. And we'll just say it right now. You are done. Pick up your weapons and flee. We cast you into the dry places, into the outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we are children of the kingdom of light. And we speak light into this community. We speak salt into this community. We speak life into this community. In the name of Jesus. We have no more patience for the works of the devil. We bind the works of the devil on the left and the right. What my Jesus did on the cross, we enact right now. We take every weapon off of you in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You have no authority in the families in this community. You have no authority in the educational system. You have no authority in each home. In the name of Jesus, we break the back of drugs and drug addiction. In Jesus' name. We break the back of sexual perversion in the name of Jesus. We break the back of alcoholism in Jesus' name. You have no authority in this area. And we serve notice upon you. It is a new day for a new life. It's a new day for the churches in this community. And we speak the word of the Lord over this community in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us. And we promise we're not going to waste it, God. We're going to walk in it. We're going to speak it. We're going to see results from it. And everyone said, amen.